This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, as we mentioned yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Ramadan al-Kareem to us as a crash course, as a refresher of our taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Why must we develop taqwa? So that we become eligible for the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we become muttaqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to worship Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to be muttaqeen, and Allah sent Ramadan as the way of reiterating and reinforcing that. Who's a muttaqi? A muttaqi is the one who is concerned about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A muttaqi is the one who has a single one-point reference for everything in his or her life. And that single one-point reference is, does it please Allah? Whatever it is, if it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muttaqi will do it. If it does not please Allah, he will not do it. Now, Ramadan came to help us to become muttaqeen by reinforcing this point, by saying that we will even stop doing what we normally used to do, and we used to normally do things which were halal, but for the sake of reinforcement of our taqwa, we will stop doing that because Allah said so. So what are we reinforcing? We are reinforcing this will of Allah. We are reinforcing our orientation towards pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Now, how do we develop that? How do I develop taqwa in my life? Taqwa is, as I mentioned yesterday, it's a combination of two things. It is a combination of the awe and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is also a kind of fear, but it's not a fear which produces hatred. It's not a fear of something that you want to run away from or avoid. But if I can call it a positive fear, which inculcates in me the desire to please that one. So it is this glory, awe, majesty of Allah in my heart, and I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the kind of situation of which is called khashyat in Arabic, this is what produces in the heart. And the other thing which is combined with that is the hubb of Allah, it is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is a combination of these two things. Let us see. Therefore, if you ask the question and say, how can I develop taqwa? Then I need to increase these two things. The more khashyat of Allah I have, the more love of Allah I have, the more I will want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that I say or do. My brothers and sisters, remember that this life of ours is a passing moment. It's an instant. In terms of time, even it's an instant, even in terms of the time that we know. For example, if we take recorded history, we can say that recorded history is roughly about 3,000 years old, right? Beyond 3,000 years, we have no records for them. We have legends and so on and so forth, but how authentic they are, what is the basis of that, we have no idea. But if you can say with reasonable certainty that history has been recorded for about 3,000 years. In 3,000 years, take one lifespan of 70 years. What percentage of 3,000 years is that 70 years, right? 70 years is an average lifespan that I'm working with. So even in the time that we have, our lifespan is literally, you know, it's almost negligible. I'm talking about 3,000 years of human history. If I take this and say, how long has this earth been in existence? Now we are talking millions of years, right? We're talking billions of years. So even in the existence of this earth, which is less than one grain of sand on a beach as far as the glory and majesty of Allah is concerned, in the context of this earth, our lifespan now becomes almost impossible to measure. But this lifespan of ours, from our personal perspective, is the most critical and important thing that can ever happen. Now, out of this lifespan, right, of the 70 years, think about how it normally, on an average, how it goes. So, in the beginning, from the time you are born to the time you attain puberty, it is not counted. So, 12 years, 14 years, not counted. Right? The rest of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a chance to use our free will or limited free will which He gave us to please Him. And then, may Allah give all of you good health right to the last moment of your life, whatever that period is, and to take you in a state of strong iman and yaqeen, and to take you in a state where you are in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take you in a state of sujood in salah, insha'Allah. But for a lot of people, towards the tail end of their lives, few years, you know, memory goes, various things happen. So effectively we are looking at a period out of our entire lifetime that is given to us where we can exercise our free will in order to do whatever we like. And in that process of exercising our limited free will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave us a measurement criteria. Allah gave us a criterion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave us without guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us guidance to say what works, what doesn't work, what is beneficial, what is not beneficial, what will help you, what will not help you. All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us and showed us by means of His kalam, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, which He sent with His Habib Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who showed it to us, who taught it to us, and who demonstrated it for us. Taqwa, therefore, as I said, is to understand this and to live our lives according to this basic fundamental principle, to say that I will do everything in my life asking only one question, which is, does it please Allah? Islam is very simple. It is very simple. So when I ask myself this question about anything, does it please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I can, logically speaking, I can get one of three answers. First answer, yes, it pleases Allah. So I do it. Second answer, no, it does not please Allah. So I leave it. Third answer, I don't know whether it pleases Allah or it does not please Allah. In that case, I leave it, I go find out, and when I have found out with certainty, then I do it if it pleases Allah, and I do not do it if it does not please Allah. This question of doubtfulness is the test of taqwa. That is why I mentioned it here. So taqwa is not just to leave haram, because to leave haram is clear, right? What is haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is wrong, don't do it. And if a Muslim is deliberately doing that, then he is, by his action, he is committing kufr. By his action, he is denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and glory and majesty and right to prohibit something, right? So this is a horrible thing to do. So please never do that. If something is right, alhamdulillah, we do it. Between these two are the doubtful areas. Taqwa is to leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. This is the definition that Rasulullah ﷺ gave. He said, Al-halalu bayyin wa haramu bayyin wa baynahuma mushtabihat. He said, the halal is clear, the haram is clear, between the two are the doubtful things. He said, leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Right? So, How do I develop taqwa? Before I go to that, let me give you a tool, which is how do I monitor taqwa, and that is by checking this. How much do I leave doubtful things? For example, I've gone to a restaurant to eat and I'm hungry, and there is chicken, there is meat, there is vegetarian stuff. Now, as far as the chicken and the meat is concerned, I am not sure whether it is factory slaughtered, whether it is hand slaughtered. I'm not eating pork, I'm eating chicken or mutton, but I'm not sure whether this thing is factory slaughtered or machine slaughtered or hand slaughtered. Vegetarian, I know. Fish, I know. Eggs, I know. What do I choose? By all means, try to ask and say, is it hand slaughtered? Don't say, is it halal? Because they will say it is halal. Because it is halal. In the sense of, it is the thing by itself is halal. It's not a prohibited item. But remember, our halal as far as meats are concerned is dependent on two things. It should intrinsically be halal. The substance itself should be permissible. And the way it is prepared should be according to what Rasulullah ﷺ prescribed. There are many opinions on this. The strongest opinion, on which everybody is agreed, there is no difference of opinion on that, is that any meat or any animal or bird which is by itself halal, if it is slaughtered by a Muslim, hand slaughtered by a Muslim who says Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, then this is inshallah completely and totally halal. There is no problem about that. When the slaughter is done, the two carotid arteries and the jugular vein must be severed in one stroke. The head must not be separated from the body. If this is fulfilled, then that thing is completely halal. As I told you, there are other opinions, but all of those other opinions, there is a difference of opinion. Somebody says, yes, you can do that. Somebody says, no, you can't do that. But in this one, which I am mentioning to you, this opinion, there is no doubt, it's a completely agreed upon opinion to say that if you get meat like this, absolutely no problem, please eat. So now you go to the restaurant and you find out that you can't really find out, is it really slaughtered like this or not? So there is a doubt. What do you do? Do you say, well, you know, after all this, that, or do you say, no, I am not going to eat this because I have a doubt. I'm not saying make a scene, I'm not saying, you know, create a conflict. No, please don't do any of that. Just say, I'm sorry, I do not eat this, I would like to eat fish. I would like to eat eggs, I would like to eat vegetarian. There are people who are vegans who eat only vegetarian, they have no shame about that, they are perfectly fine with that. They eat it. There are people who are vegetarian for religious reasons and they are vegetarian all their lives. Now, why must you as a Muslim act like you will lose your life if you don't eat that one chicken? Right? This is where, and I'm giving you this example because this is one of the most common examples, right? But there may be many more. The principle is, if I'm faced with something which is doubtful, what do I do? Do I still do it, or do I choose the path of safety, which is I do only that which I am sure about, that it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the measure of taqwa. This is the meter by which I can measure my own taqwa. So my submission is that right now we are at the beginning of Ramadan. Sit down with a notebook. Reflect on your life. Reflect on all the different decisions that you make in your life, from the smallest to the most significant. And judge yourself on this standard and say, do I leave the doubtful for that which is not doubtful? Or do I indulge in the doubtful? I hope you are not directly doing something which is haram. If you are doing something which is haram, then please leave it. If you are drinking alcohol, if you are dealing with interest, if you are fornicating, Allah knows what, watching pornography, I should not even be saying these things. But you know perfectly well that what I am saying is things that Muslims are doing today. So that's the reason I'm saying it. I'm not running away from that. But my point is that cursing, bad language, filthy language, right? Making fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making fun of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, joking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of these things, if you are doing, please wash your hands. You know, like COVID-19, 20 seconds, wash your hands clean of all of these major sins. But we are not talking about that. We are talking about doubtful things. So if you find that you are indulging in things which are doubtful, please leave them. Completely and totally reject them, leave them. Do that, as I said, do it nicely. You have a right to make a choice, make the choice. And say, I will not do this because I am not sure about this matter. I can assure you that if you follow this rule, inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you safe. I always remember the opening, the muqaddimah, the introduction, the opening, the preface of Riyadhus Salihin, where Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh, he described the niyyah, yeah, the first hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, and also in the Arba'een Nabawiyyah, the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh, also in Riyadhus Salihin, is the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, where he said, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Where he said that the reward of the deed is based on its intention. Now, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi explains this so very beautifully. I have never seen such a beautiful explanation. He said, Al-izharu niyya fi kulli aqwal wa fi kulli a'mal wa fi kulli ahwal al-barizatu wal-khafi. He said, it is the awareness of the niyya. It is the awareness of the niyya. In everything we say, in everything we do, in all the conditions that we find ourselves in, whether this is hidden or whether it is visible or whether it is hidden. Right? Al-barizatu wal-khafi. Now, see this beautiful definition of this niyyah, and this is such a beautiful definition of taqwa. Who is a muttaqi? A muttaqi is one who lives his life like this, a life of total awareness. A muttaqi is not a cow. A muttaqi is not a sheep. We just, you know, eats anywhere, walks anywhere, sits anywhere, is not concerned, is life of thoughtlessness. No. A muttaqi is a human being. A muttaqi is a very highly intelligent human being who understands the basic fundamental principle of why he or she was created, who is concerned with his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, beyond which there is no other concern that is superior to that. And a muttaqi is the one who spends his or her life in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by having this complete and total consciousness about every single thing they speak, every single action they do, and every single condition they find themselves in, whether it is internal to them or whether it is external to them. Right? Which also deals with thoughts. Because what is the speech which is internal? It is our my self-talk, what I speak to myself, what I say to myself. It is my thoughts. Even this, the muttaqi is the one who is concerned that this must please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine if we live our lives like this, and this is what I am recommending to you. This is what I am recommending to myself and you. Let us try to do that. If we live our lives like this, imagine it will become impossible for you to commit a sin. How beautiful is that? Right? This is the biggest safety against sin, because I am conscious of myself 24/7. Every waking moment, I am conscious of myself. Before I say anything, there is a tape, it's like the OS on which all software runs, right? It's the operating system on which everything else runs. If the operating system is faulty, if it is corrupted, then no software will work on that operating system. If the operating system is sound, then even if there is a software problem, it is easy to solve. You can fix it, you can uninstall and reinstall the software, but the operating system itself should be sound and fundamentally correct. What is our operating system? Our operating system is called taqwa. Our operating system is, does it please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if I'm thinking something, right, whoever it is, if I'm thinking a thought and I know this thought does not please Allah, And remember, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not a question of saying, if Allah knew, because Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows even your thought. So I say, how can I be thinking this when I know that my Rabb is, He's aware? How can I be thinking this when I know that my Rabb is aware? So I reject that thought. I perish the thought. Before I speak anything, I may want to say something. I may be very angry, for example, and I want to curse somebody. Right? I want to use some bad language. But does it please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Dumb question. Of course it doesn't. So what do? I do not use bad language. I want to exaggerate when I am selling something. I want to boast. I want to show off. Right? I want to be sarcastic and hurt somebody. I'm not talking about humor. Humor is it doesn't hurt anybody, right? I'm talking about being sarcastic in a nasty way which hurts people. In my actions, I want to do something. I want to enter into a transaction which Allah has prohibited. I want to eat something or drink something about which I am doubtful. I want to drink a drink which has a secret formula in it. How can a Muslim drink something when he does not know what it contains? Right? What more clarity do you want on this matter? To say, people say, you know, can I drink this or that? Can I drink Coke and Pepsi? My point is, if you know what the ingredients are, and if all of those ingredients are halal, then you can drink it, even then to drink it is stupid, because something which has 15 teaspoons of sugar in it for every can is very, it is physically harmful. But I mean, if you want to still drink it, that's a different issue. But when there is something where the contents are hidden, they are unknown, how can you drink that? Why do you even need to ask this question? So similarly, when I every action of mine, right? I'm giving you just some very, very examples. I'm driving my car. How do I drive? Am I being a nuisance or a potential danger to other people on the road? Am I jumping signals or something? Am I going beyond the speed limit? There is a reason why there is a speed limit. I'm busting the speed limit, and I consider that to be a matter of great honor that I bust the speed limit. Right? I'm fudging my taxes. I have a covenant with the government to pay them taxes, but I'm fudging the taxes, and I'm giving some, you know, convoluted explanation for this. People are working for me, I don't pay them on time, I curse them, I exploit them. You know, think about this, my actions. Then the conditions I'm in, right now we are sitting in our homes because of this COVID virus. So what do? I curse the virus. I curse time. I curse, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, do not curse time because I am time. We say, oh my God, you know what, how unfortunate we are, and how miserable is this, and so on and so on. And Shaitan keeps on twisting. Shaitan, you're stuck at home. I'm stuck at home. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I'm stuck at home because I am now able to find time to spend with my family. I'm able to find time for reflection. I'm able to find time to do something productive and useful. I'm able to find time now to read all the stuff that I have been planning to read. I never had the time to read that. List of things. Everything can be seen this way or that. So, taqwa is to avoid doubtful things. And you do that by living with awareness and thoughtfulness. I remind myself and you, let us use this as a way of checking our own taqwa and see, in Ramadan, Allah sent Ramadan to increase my taqwa. So let me see from the beginning of Ramadan to the end of Ramadan, how much has my taqwa increased? How thoughtful have I become? How conscious have I become? How obedient have I become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah to help you, to reward you, to give you in keeping with His majesty and grace, to give you all that you ask Him for with khair and barakah, and then to give you more from His grace and His generosity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.